places. God, I just pray that through this all, you will receive the glory and honor that's due you. God, I pray that story after story of where Christians have stepped forward and helped would come out of this, that the good would be seen. God, I thank you for just the ability to meet today. I pray that you would give Daryl wisdom. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us. Open our ears to hear what we need. God, may we be filled. God, may we go out this week, either in the virtual world or as we stray into the grocery store, and that we would be able to reach out to someone and minister to them. God, give us eyes to see those who need help. Let us be quick when we're struggling to reach out to someone as well. We all know that social distancing, being alone, is not the healthiest thing for humanity. So I pray that you give us wisdom as a local church body of how best to meet one another's needs in this time. We pray in your son's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate the prayer time. And so, as I said, I'll say it one more time in case anyone else joined, but I'll ask everyone to mute out for now. And then as we open up the time for prayer specifically, I'd love to have us all, you know, police our mute, but pray, interject, and be a part of that together so that we have that connection. You know, the word says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's there in the midst of us. And so I just expect that Jesus has a part in this service, even though it's remote. He's pretty much alive and well. And Chris and I began praying this morning together pre-service. We were asking that you would feel the presence of God in your home in a very tangible and rich way. And so that's my expectation, is that you are now going to experience his presence in your homes, and may that become a very normal thing for you. Amen. I'm going to mute somebody. Okay, cool. I'm back. So, you know, I think it's so funny that over the last 6 weeks prior to being on lockdown, we were talking about how God had been bringing the church, you know, the capital C church, all the churches of this area, through some difficult challenges, through what we had called last week shaking, that he was trying to teach us how to trust in him when all the other options in our life were no longer available, that he was building within us a enduring faith that was not based on anything going according to plan. And we had studied how the invitation to follow Jesus is an invitation to repentance and death to self and receiving the gift of the indwelling Spirit of God in our life. And I just find it so funny that then we go into this lockdown phase and nothing makes sense. Nothing's normal or comfortable. We don't have the worship that we're used to. We don't have the connection with each other that we're used to. And it just forces us to find this new normal. And we have to depend on the Lord to come in and help us in ways that we normally wouldn't even would ask. And I really just want to ask us to enjoy the fact that there's a new level of dependence on the Lord. Don't look down on that. Don't find your own self-sufficiency and in the new process we're going through. Really reach out and depend on him. Use this time to learn how to depend less on self, and let this time be a good time of practice, because when the world goes back to normal, we don't want to go back to normal. We want to be forever changed, and we want to know what it's like to be well practiced in the art of depending on him for all things. Even to the point where we're like Jesus when he said, I only say or do the things I hear or see the Father doing. That takes time and practice, responding, saying yes, and obeying. And we really want to get that down. And now is the perfect environment to teach us those things. I'm going to give myself a thumbs up on that. Here's my opening thought for the service here. What if the church was as dedicated to emitting the peace in the chaos as the media is dedicated to emitting terror and fear? I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just trying to say, what if we were that focused, hyper-focused on God's goodness in a way that the world right now is hyper-focused on the details of doom around us? I'm pausing for effect. I want us to do some inventory on ourselves today, speaking about how we may have, by watching the news and by taking in every, you know, every report as it comes, how have we allowed that to perhaps shape our viewpoint of the world, our response to the world around us, as we're trying to be safe, and by all means, let's be safe. Have we in any way, and this is just between you and God, there's no condemnation here. Have we in any way shut out the ability for Jesus to move through us and reach people? And that's just, you're going to know. I want to start out with Ephesians 3, 10 through 12, and going to try something here. Going to share my screen. Hopefully you all can see this. But Paul was talking about how he had been made an apostle to share to the Gentiles the good news. And he began this verse in Ephesians 3:10 by saying, God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Now, that's not physical people. The unseen rulers and authorities are the devil and his forces in the demonic realm. And then the Lord wants to use the church to display his wisdom. In some translations, it says his manifold wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities. Verse 11, this was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently. Some translations say frankly into God's presence. All right, hopefully I'm back. Through Jesus, this is the first thought, we have divine access to come boldly, frankly, and confidently into God's presence. Some of our fear reactions cause us to want to withdraw from and experience the fullness of the fear and the caution. Some of it might be a knee-jerk reaction to prepare more than you normally would. And I'm not telling you these things are bad. What I'm getting at is when those things drive you away from instead of toward the presence of God and running in confidently and saying, you know, Father, I need you more than ever now. That's where we may start to experience some breakdown. And part of the challenge here is not to allow ourselves to slip so far to the direction of I have to prepare more, I have to save more, reduce my spending, make sure that all of these things happen in such a way that it's all up to me. The day that it's all up to me is the day you are really in a dangerous place. Amen. Preach it, Daryl. I will. God's purpose is that the church would display his manifold wisdom. And if you guys know what a manifold is, let's say on an exhaust on a car, there's one way in where the air comes in, and there's multiple ways that the air comes out. So the Lord, he has various forms of wisdom that the full body of Christ together has the ability to project. Any one of us unto ourselves, we can't project the fullness of the wisdom of God, but as we come together, and that's another reason why it's important that we all come together, even if it's online. But, you know, we're called to share a source of his wisdom to the world around us, right? And for one of us, it might be the wisdom of God's faith in motion. To another, it might be hope. To another, it might be a practical solution. To another, it might be an answered prayer. But when you put all these things together, the world sees the church, and that's you and me, and they say, wow, those people are not only peculiar, but they have something that I don't understand, but I wish I could connect with, right? We're to display that manifold wisdom not only to the world, but check this out. We're displaying it to the enemy, okay? And this I find not only interesting but fun in a way that there's an enemy that wants to, you know, work according to the MO of that scripture tells us to kill, steal, and destroy. Even if you might say, well, I don't believe the devil is causing every little bad thing that happens. That's okay, but he's definitely going to try to take advantage of the destabilizing effect that any bad situation brings, right? If you want an example of that, just think of almost any politician you've seen lately. They take advantage of the destabilization, right? And they try to platform something that works to their advantage or to the advantage of the people that they're trying to work for. And I'm not getting political. I'm just saying, hey, we've all seen it happen over the years. Now just imagine that, multiply that by about 10,000. And that is the enemy that hates us and wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take advantage of the destabilization that these negative events cause. And he wants to rock our world. And then the Lord, he's called the church to a place where, you know, he's even limited his power to the church so that we could be the ones to display his manifold wisdom. If the church says, no, we will not step into that place where we will be the ones displaying the wisdom of God, then God will limit himself and not display his wisdom on the earth. He's chosen to do it that way so that we could enjoy the fullness of being partnered with him. I hope that makes sense. Just let that sink in for a minute.
Yes, it does. So
let it sink in that we are being respectful to the fact that we are supposed to socially distance ourselves, but please do not close down the idea that the Lord is so much bigger than social distance, that he can overcome and he can still move through us, even if we are respectfully distancing ourselves from those around us, okay? Well, what does that look like? Well, let's get alone with the Lord first and begin to pray and ask. There are all kinds of opportunities. You know, one of the greatest opportunities that I see right now is the ability for someone to have a need. And while you're out, maybe shopping for yourself, that you actually see something that someone else needs and you're the answer to their prayer. You are the miracle, if you will, in their life. Be open to that, please. That's like so simple, but yet so easy because we're out anyways, right? Let's see. David said, I had the term social distance. We need physical distance, but socially we need to come together as believers. That's right. Social distance, not spiritual distance, right? God is the solution provider to this world, right? But we, the church, are the delivery mechanism. We're the delivery boys, if you will, and girls. And we're the ones that are supposed to be crying, Lord, let it be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And he's doing these things, but we're crying out what we want it here. We want it in our life. We want it in our community. We want it in our family, our church family. We need you to do it, right? And so we're the delivery mechanism. So want to make sure that I challenge you guys that we're not only praying and calling these things out, God, do it for us, but then ready to put feet, even if those feet means putting on, you know, gloves and a mask. I don't know, but being ready for the Lord to move through our phone calls, move through whatever interactions we might have. Amen. You can nod. You can. Okay, cool. I see Christine nodding. This is fun. I'm just taking a commercial to say I'm enjoying seeing your faces right now. I have not enjoyed staring at the YouTube channel for the last couple of weeks. So thank you for going here with me. This is cool. So let's flip over to Luke 12, 22 through 26. I'm going to try to share my screen again. And what we're going to look at is an invitation from Jesus to have a special grace not to worry. Or let's just say it this way. We have a grace to refuse to worry. Jesus started out in Luke 22, and we're pretty much going to stay in Luke 22 outside of a couple little side rabbit trails here. But he said, turning to his disciples, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food and your body is more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Did you catch that piece in verse 23? Life is more than food. Your body is more than clothing. What could your life be? What could your body be to Christ if it were properly reserved for his purposes and not being bogged down by worry or anxiety in the background? You know, simple question, how much of our thought life might be wrapped up in worrying or trying to outthink or prevent the next thing that could possibly go wrong? Remember that he values every part of you. So, you know, for some of us, we're okay with the idea that he saved our spirit. He saved our soul, we might say. But, you know, he cares about us, spirit, soul, and body. And he's not going to ask you to partner with him in his kingdom and then not take care of you physically, right? I can imagine any one of us are thinking of some examples of ways that we felt like maybe something happened and God wasn't taking care of us. And I'm not going to speak for him and say, you know, oh no, he was there. You just weren't paying attention. No, he's always there and he's always working things together for good. He's not going to prevent every little thing from going wrong around us, but he's going to make sure he uses it for good because he is a good God. And there's a world that is watching us and they need to see some things go wrong every once in a while because they need to see us go through it. They need to see a people who can take God by the hand and walk through a storm. Not a bunch of people who can just avoid it every time it comes. Does that make sense? You can nod. How does it feel to be a model of Christ? How does it feel? You were made to carry the peace of the Holy Spirit as part of your new creature design, okay? So we all know the scripture says we're a new creature in Christ, is, you know. But you were actually given a new design to be free from worry dominating and owning your life, okay? Doesn't mean that we're not going to have those fight or flight mechanisms firing off in our psyche every once in a while, driving us to either address things or get out of the way and run away from them. That's okay. God programmed that into our bodies. We need to have fight or flight mechanisms to motivate us to do something, or else we would just be so zen hippie all the time, nothing would get done. So it's okay to experience those emotions, but they were never meant to dominate us. They were never meant to own 100% or any percent of our active thought life to the point that it crippled us or it slowed us down from being able to move and to keep our minds and our hearts focused on Jesus, what are you doing right now? And how can I partner with you in this mess? Amen. I want to read Philippians verse 4-7. I'm pulling this from the message just because I love the way it is spelled out here. So Philippians 4, just check this out. Celebrate God all day, every day. I mean, revel in him. I call this one out really quickly because the topic we're speaking of here is worry or anxiety. And when we allow worry and anxiety to own our thoughts, then we're not able to carry out the Philippians 4 command here. Celebrate God all day, every day, or rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let's continue. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the master is about to arrive and he could show up at any minute. I love this, especially in a world where, you know, we see people at the store. When I go shopping, I see people at the store and sometimes I think I see in their eyes this fear that the next person that passes them could be the one who infects them. And I just see more than ever now that the Lord is speaking to us. Make it as clear as you can to all the people that you meet, that you're on their side and that the Lord is about to show up at any minute. And, you know, I ask him, and I ask him for all of us, Lord, can you just show up at any minute in any situation, any phone call? Can you just be God and do something amazing for people during this time? But we're not gonna be available. We're gonna miss it if we're too worried about just getting what we need and getting out of the way and getting back home. Okay, this is not a message to say don't be cautious. Please don't hear that. Just be open to this idea that God wants to do so much more than go on to time out because we're socially distanced. Verse number 6: Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. This is key here. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. You were made to carry the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, at the center of your life. And all of these other external are meant to be external things. Just a friendly reminder for anybody who can do their spiritual inventory this morning and say, you know, I haven't been a person who's displayed peace, you know, supernatural peace at the center of my life. This is a great time for repentance and just letting go. Just give it over to him and say, Lord, I'm not going to take it back this time. I truly am going to take it at your word, that you're going to provide, that you value me more than anything else in creation, and that you will take care of me as I partner with you. In fact, let's pray. Lord, I ask you right now to displace worry at the center of my brothers and sisters' life. Right now, I sense there are some who are struggling with that. And Lord, you didn't call them to a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And so we just release that right now. And we ask that you drop worry from the center and God fill it with your peace. I pray, Father, that others will see and notice and will be blessed by the peace of God that is in their life. And that, Lord, people will come to know you. That people will literally come to know Christ because of the peace they see going on in a time of worry. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm back.
Amen.
Amen. Now that we're coming off mute, did the Lord share something with you? Amen. Pertinent to this discussion.
Can I share something?
Yes.
Okay. So for about the past year, the Lord has given me this scripture. I can't even tell you how many times. But I really believe it's for such a time as this. But it's Jeremiah 17:7-8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. Mm-hmm. For he should be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when he comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I love that scripture. And it's Psalm 1 is the same thing. And so for those of us, all of us who are sort of hiding ourselves under the shadow of the wing, right, of the Lord, and who are trusting in him, it's a tough time and people are afraid. But you know what? God's promises are so faithful and he's so faithful to provide. We don't have to be afraid because it comes from his hand, right? I mean, he's there with us. And I love this scripture. You can even read it in the Message Bible or in other translations, but we don't need to be anxious or fearful. Like Daryl said, we just need to trust that God is so in this with us. God is in total control. He hasn't lost control. His hand is upon us and he's going to use this in a powerful way. And I really believe he's going to also use it to bring the revival that we have prayed for. I really believe that as people right now are in such despair that they're going to come to Christ. It's an amazing time for us to witness and to share Jesus. But I just wanted to share with you to be encouraged because the Lord is going to take care of all of us. He's faithful and he's awesome. And we just need to continue to pray for each other and our families and cover each other. It's so good to see everybody. So I just wanted to share that with all you guys.
Let Karen, what was that again? With Jeremiah?
No, Psalm 1.
Okay. Jeremiah 17:7-8. That's where that comes from. And okay. But Jeremiah 17:7-8 talks about not being anxious, a little bit broader. So that would be the one I would read first. And it coincides with Psalm 1. But if you read Jeremiah 17, not being anxious. So it's a really cool scripture.
Sorry about that.
Thanks
Karen. Thank I saw Donna, your hand went up. Were you to speak? Or was that an accident?
I don't know.
Okay. I will lower your hand.
I think that was a while ago, I think.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
It says Kathy Flynn's hand is up. Did you do that on purpose, Kathy? Huh? Huh? Okay. All right.
We're a little technically challenged.
No, it's okay. I'm trying to be respectful. If I see a hand, if it's an accident, no problem.
I'm here.
Were you raising your hand to speak, or was that an accident?
I was. Because what I was going to say is, I think the psalm that's most important to me through all this is Psalm 139. And I think it basically says it all. Mm-hmm. He knows everything about us. He knows everything. He knew this day was coming and he has a plan. And we can just trust him.
Amen.
And in the process, we do need to be his hands and his feet. I think, you know, I think making sure that people that we know have groceries that can't get out, the shut-ins, I think, you know, there's a lot we can do to still help people without being afraid.
Right.
That's just my opinion.
Amen. Amen. All right. So very cool. Thank you, everybody. I'm going to keep moving to Luke 12, and we're just going to continue where we left off, verse 27, where Jesus says, look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. You hear that? Like, he just keeps telling us, don't worry, don't be concerned. That's not because he's trying to challenge us and say, you don't have enough faith. Jesus is saying, don't be concerned, don't worry, because he wants to see us free. We're supposed to be like children in the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to worry about these things, not to say that those thoughts won't rise, but they're not to dominate you. Jesus died for our freedom, right? The scriptures say it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Don't be yoked again with a yoke of bondage. And there's this dominating fear, dominating concern that he doesn't want us to go back to. Let's start in verse 30. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but the Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. You see that? It gives him great happiness. It makes him happy. And we can be happy by doing this in us. Amen. See. Am I back, or do you guys see the...
We can...
You see me, or do you see the Bible verse?
You.
Okay.
Now we see the Bible verse.
Now you see the Bible verse. See what I did?
Here it is. Yep.
Okay. I still do see you.
Good. All right. If I didn't have the Bible verse up on screen, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm still working through the tech. But he doesn't want us to be dominated by anything. And that includes he wants us to be free in our thought life. Okay. So many of us have been set free from exterior types of things, but there's another level in the church that he wants to lay down for us and set people free of, and that is going to be worry. And believe me, this is just a great trial run for times to come in the future, right? Matter of fact, no, I'm going to skip that. I'll just keep going. You know how he said it brings the Father great happiness to give you the kingdom? You know, in my mind, when I'm reading that Bible verse, I would think the logical answer to what Jesus should have said would have been, you know, relax, don't be worried. It gives the Father great pleasure to give you the things you need, to take care of the things you need, right? But he didn't say it that way. He said, you know, don't worry, relax, because it gives the Father great pleasure to give you the kingdom of God. That word translates to the rule of God. And what he's trying to say here is it, you know, we have peace when we partner with his rule in our life. And then when we're under the covering of his kingdom rule, then that gives us a special place. It separates us from the inner workings of the things of the world. Does that make sense? And so as we submit to the rule of God in any situation, no matter how scary it might be, we invite him to rule and to reign in that difficulty, then we're able to grab a hold of peace because that situation is no longer ours to own. We've submitted it to the rulership of the Father. I hope you can grab a hold of what I'm trying to say here. It's easy to say this is my problem. It's a little bit harder to say this is his problem. And when we're able to cross that line and say it truly is his problem, then that's where we experience peace. Freedom also comes when we stop focusing in on our needs and our desires. Freedom comes when we realize that the Father already knows what we need before we ask. That doesn't mean we stop asking. It just means that we already know that before we ask, He already knows what we're going to say, which means we're called according to His purpose. And our confession in the prayer, Lord, I need You and I trust You, is just affirmation to us that we were called according to His purpose. And what do we know about those who are called according to His purpose? Romans 8:28 tells us that all things work together for our good because we are called according to His purpose. Amen. And then the promise of the Father that we saw in the verse before too is that He will give us what we need as we seek His kingdom, His rule above all else. Okay. And there's some freedom here in this, but there's an invitation to say, hey, I know you have things that you need to be pursuing right now in order to prepare, in order to be ready. But, you know, if you'll just seek My kingdom, My needs, My rule above all else, then I'll make sure that I come through for you and I take care of your business. It's a partnership. It's a marriage, right? If any marriage, both partners were just only worried about getting what they needed, then the marriage would not work, especially not long-term, right? And the Father gives us marriage. We looked at this last week in Ephesians 5, that He gives us marriage as an example of the kind of relationship He wants with us. So what He's inviting us into is, hey, come and partner with Me on the things that I want to do in My kingdom. And then I will make sure that I partner with you and I fulfill the things that you need in yours. It's a safe kind of a relationship, a safe marriage, if you will, that the Lord is calling His bride to. Amen. I'm going to thumbs up that. Moving on, I have this fun little note here where Jesus is saying in in Luke 12. Let me share it. There we go. So continuing on where he just left off in the previous verses, Jesus says in Luke 12:33, sell your possessions and give to those in need. Now this is being spoken of in the context of worry and concern. He's saying, don't worry. And as a result of the peace of God in your life, feel free to sell your possessions and give to those in needs. Let His generosity flow. In other words, this will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. The treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Did you notice? And I'm not prescribing any particular action here, but did you catch the fact that in the context of worry and doubt and fear and concern, he said, receive My peace, don't own it, that problem's mine, and now be generous. Sell what you have, give it. Did you catch that? The people of God are called to be peculiarly generous, strange in the way that they can come up with things to meet other people's needs when they should be, here is the word, hoarding. Can I use that? So the rest of the world around us is stealing the last 10 rolls of toilet paper, and we are not only not worried, but able to come up with things to give because we trust the Lord, you know? I had this lady at a store. She, you know, I was looking for wipes, baby wipes, and we were out, and she had one packet in her hands as she was standing in the line. And I asked the clerk, you know, do you have wipes? And she said, you can have my pack of wipes. And I just thought, you know what? That's the kingdom of God in this lady's life. She's got the last pack of wipes and she's willing to give it to a stranger. And I saw Jesus on this lady. You know what I mean? Amidst the hoarding.
Amen.
It was awesome. And then I was able to say to her, oh, thank you so much. But no, I'm not going to take your last little pack. God's going to provide. And then when I went two stores later, I got a box of 50 and it was awesome. And the Lord provided for me as well. And I see this, not only do I see this time bringing out the best in many of us, but I want to just remind us, can we make sure that this time brings out the best in us? Can we not submit to the fear and let it develop us and let it challenge us and bring out our best? Amen.
Huh? Daryl, yes. Did you stop her blessing by not taking that from her? Like the lady had no food left and gave
no,
it?
No, I don't feel I did, because I had a real sense in my heart that the Lord was going to take care of me. And I just, I don't think I could live with myself knowing I took the wipes from this lady, you know?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering too, I think God more sees the heart. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think we should be looking at our actions as a, well, I'm going to do this and you have to accept it or you're keeping me from my blessing. Because I think more or less it's the condition of the heart. And the fact mm-hmm. that the lady offered, she mm-hmm. would have been willing to give it up, whether it was taken or not.
Yep.
So I'm wondering if it's more the heart of Jesus as we live our life, daily life.
So, it is, because there will be days where the Lord is going to put on your heart, hey, take that blessing and say yeah. you. But then there's other times where he's going to not. And in my case, he let me know specifically that he was going to make sure that I knew that I was covered and I would get the wipes that my babies needed. And so I didn't need to take from someone else. I was able to just pick it up and it was good. Didn't mean to go down that trail, but I think the point of community and letting the world see that you're not afraid, that you're trusting, that you know God is providing, that's the key here, you know? Yeah. Let that drive your generosity. I'm not talking about the principle of not saving up things to deal with the next disaster. So if you prepared and if you bought a couple extra items in advance, I'm not here to make you feel like you did something wrong, because you didn't, you're fine. But what I am saying is there can be an unhealthy focus on acquiring things and storing them up and being overly prepared and ready and hoarding things. There is a place where we see that in society, and that usually indicates there's some kind of a hole in your emotions and you're trying to fill it with stuff and provision and preparedness. And I don't want us to fill anything with anything other than the perfect will of the Holy Spirit in our life, okay? So just you're doing your own inventory and just ask if there's been a place where maybe your focus was more on your ability to prepare and less on his ability to provide and to take care of you, okay? It's Ron calls it the God adventure. Are we ready to take the God adventure, or are we just slamming the door and saying, nope, I'm not going on that adventure today. I'm locking myself in and I have everything I need, right? There's an investment of faith that pays eternal dividends, and we don't even fully understand what that means. When Jesus said, you will store up treasures in heaven, you know, part of my mind says, well, why do I need treasure in heaven when everything is going to be free? I mean, the streets are made out of gold, for goodness sakes. I might just break off a piece of street when I need something in heaven if I have to buy it, right? I'm being funny. But why would I need treasure in heaven? And the point is, I believe, less about the economical need in the heavenly system, as much as every piece of treasure that you have in heaven, as you look back on that piece of treasure, it's a reminder of the time God came through for you. It's a testimony of the intimacy that he had, where he took you through a tough time and said, hey, remember that? I came through for you. You were generous. You gave. You didn't allow circumstances to determine what you would or wouldn't do and how you would be limited. And you came through anyways. And I'm going to reward you with this thing in heaven that will just sit on your heavenly mantle, if you will, as a testimony of my goodness and my power at work in your life and how I set you free from the need to hoard and take care of yourself and be selfish. You know what I mean? I like it. I pray that he gives us many treasures in heaven. I pray that you have many. Is there a conviction from the Holy Spirit to adjust the desire of your heart based on what we've been talking about? Hey, you, how we doing? let's ask the Holy Spirit if there are things that we are storing up that are not storing treasure in heaven, okay? I'm not accusing, I'm just asking you to ask him, Lord, have I invested my heart in things where my treasure is on the earth and not in heaven? When Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, I guess what I'm trying to say is, have you noticed that you're not treasuring the things of God and the things of heaven as much as the things of the earth? When we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, or are we saying, let the things of heaven come as long as it doesn't inconvenience what I have going on right now on the earth? Let's just sit with that one for a second. So Jesus continues on. I'm going to flip and what time is it? Ooh, I don't want to keep you too long. Hopefully you can see my screen. But without breaking from the previous conversation, talking about don't worry, don't be concerned, be free to be generous, be free to give, make sure you're collecting and valuing the treasure of heaven and not the things of this earth. He continues and says, now be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. And then you'll be ready to open the door to him in the moment he arrives and knocks. You won't look stupid like I wasn't ready for you, Jesus. Verse number 37, the servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and then serve them as they sit and eat. That's just our humble Jesus there, you know. Verse 38, he may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Now, how do you know if you're ready? How do you know if you're dressed for service? Well, how do you know if your lamp is burning? It's easy. You're either a light or you're not, and you are either serving or you're not. If you're not serving, you're not a light, then it's easy enough to say, well, you're not prepared, you're not dressed for service, and you're not burning a lamp. Amen. The question I think we have for today is just like we're trying to have church in a whole new way in light of the circumstances, Lord, how can our light shine in a whole new way? How can our, how can we be dressed and ready for service in a whole new way when we can't do it the way we're used to? The Lord promises to bless us as we stay active in his affairs. And we just want to reflect on the words that Jesus said, that no matter how bad it gets or how soon we think he's coming or how far off we think he really is, we were called to be a light. We were called to serve in his affairs, to reach the lost, to help the hurting. We were called to comfort people who are broken, who are scared. And we are called to invest in, I'll use this carefully, but down and out people, okay? Circumstantially speaking, not in any other way. We were called to reach them. I'm going to read one more verse and then we'll move on into our prayer time. One second. So Jesus continues speaking and he says, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. And, you know, we oftentimes begin to think of the return of Jesus is the homeowner breaking in. And I don't believe that's what he's saying. I'm going to leave this up on the screen for a second. If the homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. I believe means this. There is a thief who's coming to steal our affection, to distract us, to take the treasures that we are trying to keep in the things of God and break into it so that we become distracted and focused on every other thing other than keeping the lamp bright and keeping ourselves ready for service. And we wake up one day and realize that Christ returns and we took our eyes off the main thing and we were not aware that the enemy had come to steal. If the homeowner knew exactly when the burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. So how do I prepare myself for my house not to be broken into? I just be ready all the time. Make sense? I don't let myself be distracted.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, shoot? What?
I thought I was muted.
That's so funny. I can see the song go over the camera and then she unmutes and she's like, oh, shoot.
So wait, is it muted?
It's no, muted here. Now.
All right.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Can I say something?
Mute. Sure, and then we will move to prayer.
Okay. I was thinking that with everybody running to and fro to the store trying to stock up, I think a lot of us should be spending our time fasting and praying. We could do good by fasting before the Lord for all of this and for the days to come. Mm-hmm. I keep thinking of what you sent me about Sweden and how they took, they now are getting the rice chip in their wrist. And I really believe that the days are short.
Sure. Yep. Yep. So let me.
Can you? I didn't hear that. What was that about Sweden? Is that so? I didn't hear that news.
Oh, because Sweden has made a real push over the last 2 years to become a cashless society, they have really made an increased effort for putting the chip in people's hands to act as the credit card, basically. And Kathy was just saying, hey, Christ may not be as far away as some people think.
No.
I want to share the prayer topics screen, and we'll read them quickly, but then I'll wondering if I should leave it here or if I should put it on the other screen so you can see each other pray. But I want to pray for the hurting and those who are in fear in this world, and let the church display the wisdom of God to the world. So let's pray for that this morning.
Hey, Daryl, just one thing I would say.
Okay, let me mute some folks here. Okay, go ahead, Bill. I lost you, Bill.
Yeah, what I was saying is, why don't you copy and paste the prayer topics into the chat so everyone can see it, and we can go from there.
Awesome. You've done this before. All right, 1 second. To everyone, paste. And there they are. So if you guys have the ability to look at the chat, we're praying for the world, those who are hurting, and let the church be the wisdom of God. Praying that we carry his peace in our challenges so that the world can understand God's heart for peace for his kids. We want to pray for or to repent of tolerating any domination of worry and not challenging or displacing that worry at the center of our life. We just want to let that go. And maybe if that's you, maybe you want to ask for someone to pray, and we can do that even together. Just pray for you to let that go. And then the last thing is let my love burn brightly, which is counter to the darkness and the uncertainty around us. So what I'm going to do is ask that we all self-manage our mutes. Please be courteous of the fact that background noise can be a big distraction. We don't want to be a distraction. We want to be an enhancement. But would like for us to experience a time of group prayer that we've been missing over the last several weeks. Let's see, I'm looking really quickly over this list, and who do we got here? You know what? I had a method to my madness. Ethan, if you would be willing, would you start us off in prayer? You don't have to pray over everything, but just start us off, and then as a family, we'll just unmute ourselves and pray something else and see how this goes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you for doing this. This is awesome.
Hey, no problem. I don't have the prayer points in front of me, but I'll just pray what's on my heart.
Hold on.
Pray in the spirit. Yeah,
hold on. Give me a second. Hold on. I'm not.
It's okay. You don't have to pray over all those points. Just, you know.
Sure. Okay. Holy Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. This time where we're all in a place where we have more time. More time, Lord, to be with you, to hear from you, to hear your voice, oh God. And Lord, we know that these are difficult and troubling times. But Lord, we're so thankful for your peace that you give us. Lord, as we cry out to you, And Lord, we look towards you for delivering, Lord, everything that we need. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for everyone's here, that, Lord, you are great and you are awesome. And we need to remember that, Lord, as Peter walked on the water in faith, Lord God. We don't want to take our eyes off you. We want to keep them on you, Lord. And I believe that's the message for me this morning, just to keep our eyes on you actively, being prepared, Lord, for you are going to come and you're going to come again in your glory. And Lord, we want to be prepared for that. We want to be the wise virgins that have their oil lamps filled and trimmed and have extra, Lord God, that overflowing, filling spirit. Lord God, we thank you for that. We thank you that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have made this possible through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for us. And that, Lord, you said you wouldn't leave us comfortless, but that you would send the Spirit. And you have done that. And we thank you for your word, your faithfulness in keeping your promise. We thank you for that, Lord. Lord, this seems like a difficult time to be able to reach out to people as we're distant from people. But Lord, you can overcome these things. And as we have hearts that are ready and prepared to be there for people in simple ways, Lord God, we just pray that you would make that way possible. And Lord, we look forward to that testimony that Pastor spoke of, the testimony of, Lord, this is how you worked in our lives. And we look forward to that, God. Lord God, give us an extra measure of faith as we lean upon you. And we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to do all that we ask, Lord. You even go above and beyond all that we ask, because you're a good, good Father, and we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. If anyone else wants to come off mute and add on, please do.
Abba, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the technology that allows us to stay in our homes and be safe, but still be together. Thank you, Abba, for our wise shepherd who teaches us and prays for us and guides us. I ask that you would bless him and his family. And Lord, above all else, I ask that your peace, that indescribable, deep peace that has nothing to do with circumstances, would flood our homes, our minds, our hearts, and would reign supreme so that we could walk through this with no fear. And Abba, we thank you that you are on your throne, that none of this is a surprise, that you have a plan and are working that plan. Thank you so much for this time to be with our families, to decompress, to relax our bodies and our minds. Thank you for stripping away all the distractions of this world that gives us time to focus on the things that really, truly, deeply matter. And we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Who else? Anybody else feel led?
Lord, we just thank you for readying your bride, making us ready. Lord, your word says that we're the bride of Christ. So, Lord, adorn us with our wedding garments, Lord, and prepare us for the days ahead. Whether those days are short or whether those days are long, prepare us to be the bride, Father God, and let us be seen that way by the world. Help us to do our part during this time, Lord. And Father God, just help us to let go of all fear and all the things that encumber us, Lord, those things that we like to hold on to. I don't know about anybody else, but I certainly love creature comforts, Father God. And so, Lord, just prepare us to be ready. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I pray for those that are hurting and in fear. I think particularly, Lord, about the healthcare workers. I pray specifically today for Lisa and Rohit and Tracy, who are on the front lines. I just pray, Lord, that today you would reveal yourself more to them, that you would help them to be a witness to others that they're serving. And please protect them, Lord, during this time. I ask your blessing on all of the healthcare workers and on their families as they're sacrificing so much, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless them, Lord. In your name I pray this. Amen.
Amen.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
All right. While I was going through the message and praying, I got a vision that I wanted to share. I saw a vast ocean, and there were a lot of ships on it. There were also these like gigantic octopuses or krakens, and it was the enemy, and they were reaching out and tearing apart the wooden ships that were sailing through. And we were there as well, but we had metal ships that God had given us. And it was, you know, like the armor of God. And we would go forward, and our direction was to sail into the sun, to sail towards the sun. And as we'd go along, you know, we'd find the people that were left over, their ships had been destroyed, and we'd drop down like little metal dinghies for them, and it had supplies and stuff. And some people would reach in and just pull out the supplies. Other people would jump into dinghies and would be able to sail on. And as we went along, when the krakens would, or the octopuses would try to grab us, if we focused on the octopuses, then we would get all tangled up. But the ships were coated in like a Teflon type thing. And if we didn't focus on the octopuses, if we kept sailing to the sun, then the tentacles would just slide off the boats. And so really the guidance was to just keep focused on the sun, keep sailing towards the sun, and then he would lead us where he wanted us to go, to the islands that we needed to go to get, you know, new supplies. And there was also like an armada effect of it, in that we were all sailing together towards the sun. And, you know, if, you know, one of the other ships was in need, we would just toss supplies over to the other ships. But the whole time, the only way that, you know, armada happens is if we're all focused on that same position and sailing together towards the sun together. You know, as we lose that focus of the sun, you go away from the armada. So that was what I saw.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I was going to ask if you saw something. Always like it when you can be here and share with us. Very cool, huh? Did anyone else see or want to add to that in a prayer?
Oh, can you hear me?
I'm sorry, who was that?
Oh, it's Nora. Can you hear me?
I can. You're a little quiet. I don't know if you can come a little closer to your mic.
I just thought I would add something to his vision. I was just thinking that maybe instead of sailing towards the S-U-N sun, it's really the S-O-N. That's what we focus on, is the sun, not, you know what I mean? Like, you could kind of have two meanings there.
Yes.
I was thinking when he was sharing.
I think that's what that was. Yes. For sure. Oh God, I ask that as we move in our own separate lives, but together, that we would move toward Jesus in everything. Lord, that we wouldn't allow our eyes to come off of you, And God, as we move together, would we be available to assist and, you know, as my brother said, toss supplies, whether that's just a word of encouragement or whether that's a very real need, physical need. Lord, will you make us ready? And God, I'm almost absolutely certain that it will come at times when we're not ready or not physically prepared to do this. And so I'm asking in advance, God, for Holy Spirit preparation in our heart to make us instant in and out of season, surrendered so that we don't have to stop and think too hard about what needs to happen. But Lord, we'll just flow. And as Jesus would do, we would say or do the things that the Father is saying and doing, and that we would have freedom, God, moving towards you because we have our eyes on you. We just have to imitate you. I pray that it would be that easy for us, God, and that Lord, you would network us together in a way through the Holy Spirit like we never thought possible. I pray through this experience in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen on that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.